that we are thankful again for this privilege. Trust the Lord to be with us in such a way that what is said and done can be to the honor and the glory of His great name. During the meeting yesterday, the brethren were talking about a remnant of God's grace, and they brought it down to the place that where there is just a remnant of the children of God that will be able to understand and receive the gospel of Christ. Whenever they were talking such language as that, I certainly believe it, and that opened up a field for me, and I probably consumed more time than maybe I should have, but dealing with this very same subject. That just every Tom, Dick, and Harry that walks the roads that is a child of God is not able to understand and to receive the gospel of the Son of God. This morning I want to deal with a few verses of Scripture that is in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. First, I'll notice the verse of Scripture as my mind is somewhat still on the same subject, as I certainly did not cover all of the Scriptures that deal with this wonderful subject. In fact, about the matter of just kindly saying is dug around the edges of it. But over here in the 2 Thessalonians, in the 5th chapter of it, the latter part of it, again, is a verse of Scripture I've mentioned here not too long ago that I had recently noticed something in it that I'd never noticed before. Of course, this being one of the beautiful chapters of the Bible, one that I much rejoice in, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. But notice down at the latter part of it, he said, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all of the brethren with a holy kiss." Then in verse 27, he said, "I charge you by the Lord." Notice now who Paul is writing to. He's writing to the church. And he said, "I charge you by the Lord." This is some of the few times in the Bible that the Apostle Paul gives a charge through the Lord. He says, "The Lord, by the Lord." Otherwise, I am speaking by direct inspiration. The Lord is telling me what to tell you. So he says, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all of the holy brethren." Now, he didn't say a thing in the world about taking a Bible under the arm and going out to the ungodly world. But he is saying that this epistle be read to all of the holy brethren. And the only people that you will be able to, that'll be able to understand the Holy Bible is holy brethren. Right recently, I've been getting a little paper as I pick all of them up. You know, they seem like everybody gets a hold of my name. And I started getting a paper from some of the progressive brethren that are writing. And these brethren and most of the progressive people, as far as salvation is by grace or is sound as Primitive Baptist, they certainly believe in the great truths that we believe in. At one time, they were all one people and separated over musical instruments and Sunday schools. But generally speaking, when it comes to the doctrines of grace, they're sound. And then this brother here, he wrote in this little paper, he said that trying to get subscribers for his paper, and he said, "Get it out to people that love the truth," and went on by words whereby that he wasn't too much concerned about others. But people that are able to understand this and love this truth, that's the people that they wanted to send the paper to. And certainly whenever we are dealing with the truth, my friends, we want it to get to people that are able to understand it and can rejoice in it. Not every child of God is able to rejoice in the truth. The Jews in the days of our Lord, while he was preaching, as they certainly could not understand. Very few of them could understand the truth. And we have the Scriptures that tells us that they were blinded in this act of God. I've never had anyone yet to try to explain to me why that Jesus in his prayer, "I thank thee, O Heavenly Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. The wise and prudent and under consideration in that text are children of God. They're wise men, my friend, but here is something that's been hid from them and revealed to babes. And the reason it is because babes will give him all of the praise and the honor and the glory in it, where the wise and the prudent, well, we'll say, just look what I've done. And so then Paul, in talking to the church at Corinth, is telling them that not many noble, not many mighty. Notice when he said, see, you're calling, brethren. He's talking to the church. That not many wise men, not many noble, and so on are called. And he goes on even in that, at the base things, at the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his sight. Whenever we understand these things, it is because that you're to give him all of the praise and all of the honor and all of the glory for it. So we're in this 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. Jesus is speaking here, and he said that he's speaking of these things of them in parable, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. Some seed fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on into good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30. Who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Here the Lord is describing, and certainly in one of the other books, maybe Mark or Luke, one says that the word, the seed was the word of God. So he's talking about someone that is preaching the gospel of the Son of God. It is not so much as we usually take for granted that it's in the pulpit, and this is certainly a place that, that this is to be preached, but I look at it in a sense as out among the world. I remember as a boy back in the mountains of Kentucky, Dad used to he'd sow his grass. In them days he had that old sower that sometimes he sowed with his hands, but they finally got a little one that you would go along winding, and they would throw the seed out. And as you would walk through the fields of sowing the seed, sometimes there would be a rocky place. And you know, that would usually be about the first place that the grass began to spring up. With a stony ground, and certainly some went by the wayside. In order to get the field, he would even get out in the thorns. There would be some of the grass, but for certainly he was looking for the good ground. He wasn't so much concerned about putting a lot of seed on the stony ground. He wasn't certainly by the wayside and out in the thorn thicket, but nevertheless, he was looking for where it would produce, but some fell there. You know, I've even noticed that over there where I live. You can have a crack in the sidewalk or in the driveway, and you ever notice how the grass pops up there first? Don't look like it'd be, just like it'd be impossible, but here'll be grass will be coming up. And it doesn't accomplish too much, but it does come up. And so whenever we're talking about sowing the seed, my friends, or the very primary, the place that we're, is looking for the good ground. And I want you to notice here, whenever the seed, if we go on down in this and read it, and notice what he says about each one of these. And he comes on down here, and notice even on in this. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speak about them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. Here he's talking about a group of people that he is talking to. And Jesus said in his disciples, he said, it's given to you to understand the things of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. I tell you, my friends, there's a people even today that it is given to them to understand the things of the kingdom of heaven. If you can sit down and hear the gospel proclaimed, hear the gospel preached, and rejoice in it, give him all of the honor and all of the glory for it, because it's not nothing, my friends, that you have that you can rejoice in, but just rejoice in the Lord. And so he said in this, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he that has more abundantly. But whosoever has not from him shall be taken even that which he has. Therefore speak out of them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. And so Isaiah said just exactly in the prophecy of Isaiah what would take place. And he said, therefore this people's heart is waxed cross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But he said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see the things which ye see, and have not seen them, to hear the words which ye hear, these things which you hear, and have not heard them. Why, Jesus is telling them that even the prophets of old time, they desired to hear the very things that you hear, and did not hear them. Sometimes we talk about Isaiah the prophet and Jeremiah, and what great prophets they were, and certainly, my friends, they were great. They were prophets that certainly had great knowledge that God gave to them, and the Apostle Peter, speaking of it, said the Spirit of Christ was in them. Otherwise, even before Jesus himself showed up on the scene, these old prophets had the Spirit of Christ in them, enabling them to see the very things that you and I see. But it wasn't for them. Why, Peter said here that the very thing, the Lord does the very thing that you hear. These prophets of old desired to hear these things, but they did not hear them. I tell you, we've got old Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and all of those old prophets beat by a country mile. We hear the very truths of Jesus Christ our Lord, but proclaimed in its simplicity, my friends, we have something far better than they had. I might notice even that just for a moment as a turn over there to it in the first chapter. I'm pretty sure of 1 Peter, where he's dealing with that. Dealing with the very things, my friends, that we're talking to you about. Notice it in the first chapter of 1 Peter. Down about, we'll not read all of this, beginning with just what we're thinking about here. Receiving the end of your, verse 9, is faith, the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time of the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand of the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that unto themselves, that not unto themselves, but unto us, which did minister the things which are now reported to you by them, that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Why, we've got something even that the angels themselves desire to look into. That is the gospel of the Son of God. I'll tell you, my friends, when ever a little old uneducated country boy, no matter who he might be or if he be highly educated, can stand before you and preach to you the gospel of the Son of God in power, he's telling you something that the angels desire to look into. He's telling you something that the old prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and others, that they have a desire to look into these things. Oh, they could not see them. They prophesied of them, but it was for you that it was to be fulfilled in the gospel day when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, was to come and to declare these things, and to call prophets and apostles, and they to declare these things, that even until He comes again, that He's going to call men from all walks of life, to preach the wonderful and glorious gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll tell you, we've got something that we can get happy about. And so back in the parables over here again, I noticed even in that, he said, talking about this people, how blinded they were. Again, let us look at that before we get into the actually the parable. itself. And over here in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, we want to look at it just for a moment, how that he is speaking concerning the very Jews that we have, that Jesus was speaking it to here. In the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, I hear the Lord, hear the Apostle Paul speaking about them, speaking about these same Jews. Notice him in it. In verse 8 of it, according as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber eyes, that they should not hear unto this day. David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, a recompense unto them, let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I want you to notice, my friends, what he is saying about them. Yes, he is talking about the very Jews that walked in that day that they had been blinded by an act of God. I say then, how they stumbled that they should fall, God forbid, but rather through their fall, the salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. And so we can see, my friends, that even in this, that here was a people that actually were blinded to the fact that they could not understand the gospel of Christ. Even in verse 7, then Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Or actually, again, in the margin of it, the rest were hardened. Here is a people that could not understand the gospel of the Son of God. Yes, they were hardened or blinded by an act of God. Here's the one that done it. And the reason, my friends, that the salvation might come unto us old Gentiles, yes, there are still yet people among the Jews even today that are the children of God, but they're not able to hear the gospel of the Son of God because it's not given unto them. I tell you, my friends, in order to understand and to hear these things, it takes a special measure of grace that it can open up your eyes. Just like when the Apostle Paul, over there in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, whenever he went down out of the riverside where a group of women were worshiping God, and Paul and one of the others, maybe Silas or Barnabas, I believe it was Silas that was with him, whenever they began to speak to these women, the Bible says that God opened up, yes, Lydia's heart until she could understand the things that were spoken to her. I had a primitive Baptist preacher told me one time, he said, that was their act of regeneration. I said to him, you're talking foolish talk. Here was a group of people that was worshiping God. You mean old dead alienated sinners were gathered together to worship God? No, my friends, they were worshiping God. But when Paul began to preach, the grace of God opened up their eyes, or her heart, until she could receive it. And so if you are able to receive the gospel of the Son of God, it's because God has opened up your heart that you can understand these things now. I then give him all of the praise and all of the glory for it. So then Jesus began in verse 18 here to tell them the parable. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth a seed by the wayside. And so here is one by the wayside. Yes, whenever the gospel is being preached, he's a child of God. He can receive these things. But how long does it last with him till that wicked one? One of the other writers calls it the devil. And so it is the devil himself that comes along, and here is something that is sold and went into the heart, but he's not able to receive it, not able to keep it, my friends, and what isn't under consideration. And yes, Satan comes along, and he catches that is sold within. And he that receiveth the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and all with joy receiveth it. And yet he has not root in himself, but doeth for a while. When tribulations and persecutions arises, because of the word, by and by he is offended. And so here is another one that Jesus is describing. I tell you, my friends, you can sow seed upon a stony place year after year. You're just going to get the same results. Yes, there are many of the children of God, as far as the gospel of the Son of God, my friends, is concerned, that is not able to receive and to contain and hold these things. And the reason that they're not able to do it is just like he said back there, it's not given unto them. Oh, my friends, how responsible you are that are able to receive and contain and to hold these things, how responsible you are to God for it. I'll tell you that we cannot knock over there the giving of the talents. Yes, he gave one, I believe one, another two, and another five. I tell you, my friends, you're not responsible for more than the talent that God gave you. But you're certainly responsible to that ability, just as much as he gives you. That's how much you're responsible for. I tell you, we've got many of the children of God in this land and country of ours that are children of God, that they're born of the Spirit of God, they're good citizens, they're people that certainly enjoy the very love of God, and they know that Jesus Christ is their Savior. But they could not, to save their life, understand the wonderful and glorious gospel of the Son of God. Why? Because it's not given unto them. We shouldn't look down too high, down a long nose at somebody just because he is not able to understand these things. I've talked to people that I knew that were not able to understand it. I've talked to others, my friends, that did understand it, but were stubborn and rebelling against it. That's the one I'd like to hit right in the nose with my fist. And someone like that that really can understand the gospel of the Son of God and just absolutely reject it. You can just rest assured, my friend, in this day that we live in, where ungodliness prevails on every side, and where the Son of God, the God of heaven, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit will one of these days, and I fear not too far away, that he'll bring his great wrath upon this earth of ours. Certainly I feel that is true. Why, even look at, for instance, we got a little old girl that lives next door to us over there. I saw her grow up. She's a fine little girl. Yes, she's a missionary Baptist, teaches Sunday school. Even the other day, had her Sunday school class over there, and had given them some kind of a party or something in the backyard, and she was talking to, giving them a big kind of a blowout back there, picnic or something. How about this little girl, the fine, outstanding young girl? She's 23 years old. She's a young woman. She went to a doctor not too long ago, and this old doctor talking to her, so she had some surgery that she was going to have done on her, and she's a virgin. And you know, that doctor actually staggered. A 23-year-old young woman is a virgin. That's the kind of life we live in, brethren. Here's a doctor. Here's a young woman. She went to dental school to be a dentist helper. I don't know the name of it, but it's I forget what. What she is, but she's the girl that sits on the other side of the patient, and whenever the dentist wants a pitchfork or a hammer or a screwdriver or something like that, he tells her and she gives it to him. And that's about the way it looks whenever you're in that chair. So this is the kind of, she got a job right recently. Come out of school, got a job with a dentist, and this dentist and his receptionist talk gutter talk, filthy gutter talk to one another. This little girl worked and she says, I won't be back. She come home telling Marcella about how, said it was filthy talk. Oh, I could have talked them just cursing, she said. But this the talk they had, she said, I couldn't take it. Well, Marcella was telling me about it. I come along and I saw her the other day. I said, Pam, they tell me you quit a good job because the dentist and his receptionist sung Amazing Grace all the time. And she kind of laughed and said, I wish they had sung it. But here again, I doubt if that little girl would be able to understand the gospel she made. Oh, my friends, she shows all the evidence that she's a child of God. If she's a little one-talent sister, she's making the best of that one talent, and she should be commended for it. And I told her, I don't blame you. I wouldn't stay in a gutter place like that either. I said, where I'm at, that's too much for me. I have to take too much of it. I'm glad I can get out and get on the road. Just have a little of it in the morning. And so we see, my friends, that there, every individual that walks upon the face of this earth can't understand the gospel of the Son of God. If you can't understand the doctrines of grace and see that salvation is completely by the grace of God, you're not to start to throw rocks at them, but to try your best to lead and teach as best you can, and then give God all of the praise and thank him, my friends, from the bottom of your heart for what he has done for you, that you can understand these things. But Jesus in this, he said, when one cometh and heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into the stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, and all with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root within himself, but doeth for a while in time of tribulation, the persecution arise by the word, by the world, and by the word, because of the word, and by his opinion. And he that receiveth the seed among the thorns is he that sheareth the word, and the cares of this life, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the chop the word, and it becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which abideth fruits and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. I hear some people that the Lord is talking about, my friends. I hear people that can bring forth a 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Here's a people that he is enabled to understand the gospel of Christ. Oh, my friends, what makes it so sad that the good ground that is able to receive these things so many times head for the thorn thicket. I can be the ones out there in the thorns that enjoying the pleasures of this world, all wrapped up in the things of this world. I can understand some of them, yes, that have never been able to understand and see the glorious gospel of the Son of God. But so many times, they are the ones that are enabled by the grace of God to receive and bring forth 160 and 30-fold. You'll find them all wrapped up in the pleasures of this world, forgetting about the house of the Lord. And the reason that we know this is because we have seen the fruits before. I heard yesterday of a brother and sister that used to be up here at the Springfield Church, Brother and Sister Moore. Brother Moore has been here a few times to church, used to come. That left the Primitive Baptist and went off out in with the Southern Baptist people down there, Missionary Baptist group. Join them up. You know, this is sad. Whenever you can see this, I feel like that these people are a time in their life, or whenever they saw these things, but they've wandered off out in the thorn thickets of life. Hey, even Brother Moore had made the argument that they could worship God just as much on a golf course as he could in the house of the Lord. I'll tell you, my friends, that's ridiculous. I told a Brother Troutner when he was telling me this, that he said this. I said, he don't play golf like I play, if he thinks that way. And I get out there, I said, yeah, I found it a hard time. I walk straight, even to the best of my ability. Out there, I must less worship God. I said, sometimes I miss about a 2-foot a putt when I used to play it all. I wasn't worshiping God. And so we can see, my friends, that there are those that are able to bring forth these things, but still wander away. This is who the preacher is to be after, my friends. This is the one, the good ground. And certainly that is exactly what the Lord was saying over there, and I'm not going to turn to read it, but just kind of paraphrase it over there in the fifth chapter, the 21st chapter of the book of John, whenever he's saying, feed my sheep and feed my lamb. He's talking about people that are able to receive and to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the word sheep there was translated from the Greek word krobea, and means, my friend, a sheep that is able that he's not by name. And they knew him. This is who old Peter, he's telling old Peter to go feed. And this is the one he is saying, to follow me. But again, I want to notice it over here in the second chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, the fifth chapter of it. And notice a few verses of scripture here. I hear the Lord, I hear the Apostle Paul speaking again concerning the ministry. He said, even in verse 17, he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Notice what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Why he is saying that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And the word reconcile is bringing an enemy into good relationship with him. And he certainly wasn't talking about the ungodly world, but the world of God's elect, God's people, is under consideration in the text. Yes, that God was in Christ reconciling the world in himself, not imputing their trespasses in them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And so, yes, there's one thing God was in Christ doing, but then over here, that he has given us the word of reconciliation. Paul's even that. For Jesus Christ, in verse 18, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul's even that. For Jesus Christ, in verse 18, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, and the word to wit in the Bible is more or less to witness. To witness, notice what he is saying, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses in them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, that we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Around you know that verse of scripture there. I've had two or three run-ins with our brethren on it, and I certainly feel like not to put the chip on my shoulder, but a long time ago, in doing a little research on the Greek manuscripts, I believe that stands out so much beautiful than it is here. More beauty in it. I remember 7 years ago, I was at the Cincinnati meeting, and that was during Brother Biffler's lifetime, and old Brother Biffler and some brother was talking about this, and the brother was telling him, he said, we are witnesses in Christ's stead. Otherwise, when Christ was preaching the gospel of his own everlasting gospel here, and now he's in glory, he said, us preachers are in his stead, in his place. Well, Brother Biffler, I was called by and hollering, no, there, Brother Warren. I goes over to him, and he began to tell me, tell this brother here what you said about this. This brother began to read, yes, he said, we are ministers of the gospel, are in the place of Christ. I said, maybe some of you fellows are, but not me. I've never got that big yet. I've never got to the place where I felt like I was preaching in the place of Christ. But now notice what the manuscript says about it. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though did God to beseech you by us. We pray you in the behalf of Christ. Oh, my friends, whatever. Doesn't that make a lot of difference? We pray you in the behalf of Christ. Be ye reconciled to God. That's what the manuscript says about it. Now, yes, we're not taking the place of the Lord, but we're talking about in the being ambassadors for Christ. That we're talking to the children of God, in the behalf of Him. Be ye reconciled to God in a world, in the godly walk, is what the apostle is saying here. And notice again who an ambassador is for. For instance, right now in that war over there in the Middle East, we don't have any embassy in Iran, but we have one over there in Iraq. And what is it doing? It's after the American citizens. That's the people that are grabbing buses, planes, and everything, and they can find to get them out of the war zone. They're not trying to get the rock out, but they're concerned about the ambassador over there. He's about the American citizens. And so then, my beloved friends, the preacher of the gospel of Christ is not concerned about Satan and his angels, but the children of God. Be ye reconciled to God. And I'll tell you, whether it be a wayside child of God, or whether it be a stony ground child of God, or whether it be one that's out in the thorn thicket, as much as God gives you, the ability that he gives you, be ye reconciled of God. And if you're one of these, my friends, that have the good ground that he has blessed to understand these things, I'll tell you, my friends, the great responsibility lays up on you to be ye reconciled to God. That's what the preachers are to do. For he has made us, for he was made him to be sin for us who know no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so you can see, my friend, what the preacher is to do as ambassadors of Christ. He's to bring the good news that comes down from above, the good news from heaven, my friends, and immortal glory. That's the good news that is to bring. I remember one time when I was a young man back there in the service. Yes, in the morning we get on the radio, we're trying to find out what was going on back home. Yes, we were involved in a war over there. We were in a foreign land. But we were concerned about the good news back home. What's going on? I remember one morning I got me out of bed early in the morning. I woke up and raised up a fellow come through, waking me up to get on duty. He said, get up, Jimmy. I raised up, putting on my clothes. He come back through. He said, President Roosevelt died last night. You know, that was one of the... I like to tell all the time. Here was sad news from home. Here was sad news. The commanding chief had died. You know, that was a gloomy day aboard that ship. Walked up atop the deck, and here's a flag half-mast. Everybody was sad. Even our politicians, in the Navy, Usually the man in charge is he's a minority, too. They like to argue politics. But here again was some sad news from back home. The commanding chief is dead. My beloved friend, you as the children of God won't hear that from home. You've got a commanding chief that's at the right hand of God. You've got God the Father on the throne. You've got your high priest there, Jesus Christ our Lord. Behold, he's alive forevermore. I am he that was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. That's the commanding chief we have. You're not going to hear that kind of a bad news. That the ambassador won't be bringing that because he's ever alive. The good news that we hear from heaven is the gospel of Christ, and that word is good news. It is something, and so the child of God, the preacher himself, is obligated to preach the everlasting gospel of the Son of God. And I'm going to go over here just for a few minutes in the fourth chapter of the, again, of 2 Peter, 2 Timothy, and deal with it again, the gospel of the Son of God. Here again, my friends, the great responsibility lays upon the minister of the gospel to preach the everlasting gospel of the Son of God. Here again, the Apostle Paul gives a man a charge, just like he did over there in the latter part of 2 Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter of it. He said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ that this epistle be read to all of the holy brethren. And so here Paul writing to a young Timothy in the 4th chapter, 2 Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall quit the judge, the quick and the dead is appearing in his kingdom. I preach the word. I want you to notice what old Paul is saying to this preacher. He said, and here's old Paul, and this is his deathbed sermon. This is the last epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote. And here was a son, my friends, in the ministry. One that was beloved of Paul. One that Paul highly esteemed was his son, Timothy. He referred to him as his son. Yes, he certainly was his son in the flesh, but he was his son in the ministry. My son, Timothy. Here he's giving him some good advice. And even in the last chapter of it, in the last two verses there of the 16th chapter of it, I mean the third chapter, again directly, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. Then he says, I charge thee therefore. In other words, the word therefore is because of this. Because in all scriptures that is profitable for all good works. That everything that you need, Timothy, is found in the scriptures. It is the inspiration of God. God gave you, Timothy, the scriptures. Now it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for a correction. Otherwise, if the preacher stands up and before his congregation and does some reproving by the word of God or doing some rebuke, and he uses the word of God, you have not one complaint to make, my friend. If he rebukes you with God's word, just take it laying down. That's what you're to do. But if he comes after you and jumps onto you and begins to make all kinds of charges in the flesh to you, you have just as much right to cut loose on him as he does you. But if he's charging you by the Bible, my friend, by the word of God, this is what Timothy is saying to him. Yes, he said, it is proper reproof. It is proper for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is what the scriptures are for. Yes, they're to reprove, they're to correct. Many times we need to be corrected. And we need even, maybe sometimes, our doctrine to be corrected. Sometimes we can wander away in this little practice and that little practice and need to come back out of the center of the thing and look at the Father itself. What does it say about it? And so he tells Timothy here that you are to reprove, that you are to correct, and all of these things. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's not telling old Timothy here, I charge you, Timothy, before the church. I charge you before the brethren. I charge you before the association. That's not what he is saying. But he says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's the most fearfulest thing, my friends, for a minister to stand up before. Whenever he begins to look, I'm not responsible to my wife. I'm not responsible to the church. I'm not responsible to the brethren somewhere. I'm not responsible to some association, but I'm responsible before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, oh, my friends, how careful that we should be then whenever we understand where we're charged at and who we're charged before and what we should preach. What are we to preach? We need to preach the gospel. And whenever you preach the gospel, you're going to be preaching the Bible, my friend. You're to preach God's word and not a Sears notebook catalog or anything else but what thus saith the Lord. Because it's all that you need, Timothy. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, or that is the living and the dead, that is appearing in his kingdom. For preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, for all long-suffering and doctrine. Oh, so many times that little thing has been bypassed. So many times that little long-suffering's been bypassed. Yes, there have been brethren excluded from their church, my friends, in times past. If the long-suffering had been used, would have never have been excluded. But yes, somebody goes out, he doesn't go out in the Spirit of God, but maybe to talk sometimes in the spirit more or less of the flesh, and begin to not use the things that the apostle has said here. But he said in this preacher how to do it. He is saying to him that he's to do these things, rebuke, exhort. Oh, you're not to lay down and just suffer people to do anything they want to, but to rebuke, exhort with much long suffering and doctrine. Not just a little bit of long suffering, no, my friends, but with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after all lust shall they heap to themselves a teacher's having itchy ears. And so we can see, my friends, that certainly we're in that time now when just about anything and everything can be preached. And if it hasn't been preached, just stick around. Somebody will come up with it sooner or later. But the Apostle Paul is charging this young man. He charged him again. Maybe in this same epistle or in the other, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels. So here's something that the charge is put before unto this young man. He's charged before these things, and that he is to preach the word. No matter where you're at, Timothy, preach the word. So many times, even as the church itself, everyone of the congregation, any time, my friends, that you're out in the thorn thicket at your job, no matter what you're at, and there comes the opportunity to speak on the behalf of God, don't be ashamed of it. Just preach the word. Tell people about the Lord. Talk about the things that we have. You don't know who might be out there that has a good heart. And Luke puts that a good and honest heart. He don't just dig around for that. He says a good and honest heart. And these people bring forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. Your man has to be honest with these things. If I begin to twist the Bible around to suit my self, in which all of us do from time to time, you can't get away with it. It'll finally straighten you out, but sometimes you'll do that. And then whenever we do this, whenever we begin to try to twist the Bible around to suit our own case, I want you to know, my friends, this itself is not honoring to God. But whenever we go out, no matter where we come into contact with people and talk about them, and each one of us should be able to understand these things. If you have the good heart, and you can't bring forth 30-fold, you're in a bad shape. See what I mean? If God enables you with a good and honest heart, you should at least have the 30-fold. You should bring forth 60-fold. And we have a high calling. The mark of the high calling is to bring forth 100-fold. And that's what old Paul pressed towards. The mark of the high calling. He wanted to get everything he could possibly get out of his calling. Each one of us should try to get everything that we could possibly get out of our calling. And whenever you do it, my friends, whenever you do that, you're going to leave a lot of the world behind. It's going to be something you're going to crucify the world. That's what you're going to do. Been doing, crucifying yourself to the world and crucifying the world to yourself. That is what we're going to have to do whenever we bring forth the 100-fold, or the 60-fold, or the 30-fold that is laid upon the children of God. And I'm talking about the people that the Lord has blessed. I tell you again, and somebody says, well, how in the world? What is the reason why? I run into this question so often. Why is it that just so few of the Lord's people are able to understand the great, glorious doctrines of the Son of God when others are not? Well, just go back there and look at Gideon's army. Started out with 32,000 and finally wound up with 300 that could lick water like a dog. And the reason he wound up with the 300 is because, you read the text, that they give God the praise. If the 32,000 would have won the victory, they'd have said, look what we done. But whenever it comes down to them, my friends, if we can, just a few that we are, throughout the land and country, it seems like, that can understand these wonderful things, give him all the praise, give him all of the glory, because he's blessed you with these things. He has enabled you to see things that other people are not enabled to see. And the reason that he does it is you might honor and glorify his great name. May God bless you with my prayers. Pray for me whenever you have a mind of prayer. There be one here this morning that is able, God in his love and blessings, has enabled you to receive the gospel of the Son of God. You rejoice in these things. If you can rejoice in the gospel of the Son of God, it's because that God has opened your heart till you can receive these things. He has a little church throughout the land and country, scattered here and there, little churches, there to honor and to glorify his great name. We live in a day whenever we don't know what will happen. Yes, that thing over there in the Middle East could cause all kinds of trouble. You let the oil fields over there get all blown up, and it don't seem like that they care who they bomb anymore. You're dealing with a group of people that the Old Testament called wild men. That's exactly what the descendants of Ishmael were. They're wild men. These people don't care. As one of them one time told, when old Kissinger back in his day, he said, well, if it comes down to the place where that we are going to run out of oil, he said, all powerful countries in the past, in history, when they needed something, take it from the smaller countries. One of them old boys over there said, we live like goats on a mountain for 2,000 years. Can the United States of America do it? You come over here to take our oil field, you'll find nothing but a cinder pile. So we got a touchy situation over there, friends. We don't know what'll happen. But there's one thing for sure and certain. The Lord will provide for his own. He has a church upon the earth. He has little churches scattered here and there. And they are to worship him. They are the good ground. They are people that have an honest and good heart if they're in the church right. I grant you there could be some scattered among them that don't have that honest and good heart. But each and every one of us should search ourselves daily. Am I what I should be in the cause of Christ? You that are on the outside that do not belong to the church, you should make a sincere search of your heart. Am I what I should do, be? Am I giving him the praise? Am I giving him the glory for all that he has done for me? If you be here this morning, if that is all, the privilege is yours, and it is a privilege, and we stand the same. May God bless you.